Okay, tonight on The Trippers, we will be having Dave Thomas, Andy Young and Phil Casey in the house. As always, sponsored by Munster Gadgets, your one-stop shop for any of your Android boxes or other electronic needs. Get on them. They are offering a discount to all Trippers listeners, Euro 10, as your code for the discount. Tonight, we'll be having a quick run through the games against Barcelona and Mainz. We'll have an in-depth preview of the Arsenal game, as well as a chat about where things are at for the club, how we see things shaping up for the season ahead, and what people's picks are for the league, top four, bottom three, who's going to win it, etc. Okay, so first up, lads, we had two friendlies this weekend. We had Barcelona Saturday, Mainz, if you want to call it a friendly, on Sunday. Dave Thomas, you haven't been with us for a while. Welcome back, Dave.
Thanks very much.
Looking splendid in your Liverpool jersey here. New haircut.
That's the first Liverpool jersey ever worn in a recording.
In the bunker.
Yeah.
Surely.
In 4 years.
I thought we were all wearing them tonight in celebration.
No, we just said that out. So you're choking.
Danger is red. Danger is power. So what is it?
I told you, I'm just covering my Lucas tattoo.
Yeah, exactly. Good lad. What did you make of the games of the weekend?
Proper DM.
I suppose, like the Barcelona game, you could get really excited. I think we were very good against Barcelona, and what is probably more reflective of what I hope we're going to do. That's our first choice team, and we played really well. Lots of pace, lots of intensity. We looked fit. You know, we looked very fit actually. And even though I think Barcelona are 2 weeks behind,
yeah, that's only their second friendly game.
Yeah, and you know, it was pleasing to see people come off the bench and score as well. You know, like Rigi looked good. I thought Mane looked excellent. Two centre backs looked good. So yeah, you know, very pleasing to go up against a good side and see that level of intensity from the off.
Andy, do you think that people were maybe a little bit over the top, you know, with their praise for how well we played on Saturday?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Like, I don't think they were excited enough, actually. Like, we beat Barcelona 4-0.
Yeah.
In front of 90,000 Liverpool fans. And for whatever reason, the way the kind of fan base has gone over the last while, like, people only want to figure out the negatives and why we can't do that again when it actually matters. That performance was extremely impressive.
Yeah.
And they capitalised and punished Barcelona for a bit of sloppy play. Like, if anyone watched Barca against Celtic, they were very sloppy.
Yeah.
But, like, they weren't playing against a ruthless team, really.
Yeah.
And they scored a couple of goals, didn't they? But the way Liverpool were was just so punishing. And then they defended well when Barcelona asked questions of them. I don't care, like, if they're only back a week or two. Messi and Suarez have been back
as well, didn't they, Barca?
Yeah. Messi and Suarez are only back a small time. Well, they're back a while.
Yeah, they
were there, like, for their friendly against Celtic and everything. But, like, no matter what, they're going to be hard to deal with, even if they're not arsed.
Their Messi's natural talent.
Messi's not that arsed anyway throughout the season. He just has that natural ability. And
Suarez is
going to be a nightmare. And they were dealt with well. So, no, I don't think people got excited enough. I had to hold back because I didn't want to look like a fool. Like, but I was really excited about that.
Yeah.
And then the other one didn't happen.
It just you've ignored the game on Sunday, so you are the stereotypical head in the sand red who decides all good things are great and all bad things just never happened.
Not quite.
Well, the Barcelona game was a proper game, and then the Mainz game was a recovery game.
Oh, right, okay.
Klopp said himself, it was only a pretend game.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I personally would be somebody that's in the middle who said, let's not get over confident about the Barcelona game, let's not get too upset about the result against Mainz. You know,
but no one asked you.
Yeah, but I said it anyway, and it got 25,000 Twitter impressions.
Yeah,
so
not one retweet.
You're a pod host. No one gives a gee what the pod host.
No one cares what the host
is. No, Phil, it was just when you were the pod host, no one gave a gee.
Nope.
In terms of the Mainz game, then, Phil, I'll push on to you because we've already covered about how great the Barcelona game was, and I'm not trying to knock it, but we have to take into account, you know, what happened on Sunday as well. You know, you have to have some perspective on both games.
Yep.
What were your thoughts on the Mainz game?
Yeah, I was watching the bike race in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Didn't watch the friendly.
Right.
Oh no, it was pointless. It was the stupidest idea I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was part of the Carrius deal, I believe.
Well, yeah, but then don't play Barcelona.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, right? It was
that was done for money, I'd say.
It was the stupidest idea ever. Let's play two games back-to-back in two different countries. You can understand if it was like a 60-minute game on Saturday in some type of international cup type thing. You know, those tournaments that Arsenal used to play.
Well, it was in one of them.
Which
the Barcelona game was part of.
Yeah, but what happened to the next game?
Oh, yeah.
We just didn't turn up. No, sorry, lads, we're out to play Mainz instead.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't give 70 minutes to most of the players, 75 minutes to most of the players on the Saturday that he saw as his main team, and then bring the others out and give them 80, 90 minutes. Mm. And you know, use a few youngsters either side of that as well.
But can I just say, right, because Raymond the Egg is going on about this as well on Twitter, right? No, but the fitness coach at Liverpool is now the ex-Bayern Munich fitness coach, right?
Yeah.
Klopp has a master's degree in sports science, right? They fucking know what they're doing. So saying, why didn't he give this person... Because they've got it as part of a programme, right? So okay, obviously their doctor has said, Lallana needs 45 minutes this game and 45 minutes this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lovren can only play 45 minutes this game and don't give him 45 minutes.
But the thing about Raymond jumped in on the Ojo point. Yeah. And he didn't play either game. So I was like, he's injured because he tried two games. He wasn't even in the squad.
And the Carrius injury as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember I said,
a broken hand, mate.
Definitely Klopp's fault that is.
Overtrained himself.
We had this conversation last week. Our injuries that we got were not, the majority of them have been impact injuries.
They were until this week.
Yeah,
when unfortunately we had Sturridge, we had Ojo, we had.
Well, the Sturridge one,
Sturridge is a mystery one.
Sturridge is. Oh, come on. Like, it was only a matter of time until Sturridge.
I understand. It's Sturridge. I understand, but I'm not saying Raymond van Eekhout is right. I'm saying that the injuries that have happened since we spoke about this.
I'm not making excuses. If he's right, he's right. Muscular. But I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that up until this week, the majority of the injuries were impact injuries.
Yeah.
So they weren't down. They weren't down to this magically. You know,
no, we've had Ojo, Sturridge, and Milner this week injured in terms of muscle injuries. But
isn't it interesting though that Ojo played in the England Euro 19s?
Yeah.
And Sturridge and Milner were both part of the England
squads
in the European Championships.
Yeah.
Now we know Sturridge is likely to get injured at any stage.
Yeah, but Sturridge had a little injury in the run to the Euros as well.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Listen, we understand. Daniel Sturridge is their best striker. Unfortunately, he has to be wrapped in cotton wool.
But can I say like this, right? I'll still stand by the same thing I had last season. I'm still waiting to see the Sturridge from before he got injured.
I agree.
For that long spell. I know he scores goals and he's a quality player, don't get me wrong, right? But that player that we had when he was with Suarez and the one the following season where he was basically the main man, right? We haven't seen for a long, long time. And we have an 80% version of Daniel Sturridge.
Well, no,
the following season he wasn't the main man.
No,
it was the Suarez season.
Yeah. Sorry,
and
the one before when Suarez
when
was
he came
out,
in
for 6 months. Was out suspended.
Yeah.
So that's we haven't seen that Sturridge since the injury from the start of the season after Suarez.
We've had 18 good months from Daniel Sturridge, and that's not to say we've not had brilliant moments from him after that, but we've not had any sort of consistency at the level that he was at for those 18 months. But the 6 months when
that's
we
why I think
him.
Klopp's built the squad the way he has. Yeah, which is we don't need Sturridge.
I don't disagree with that.
Like when I see Origi, and like even against the Barcelona game, and big Kev Stewart nips in, robs the ball, plays it through, and you see Origi, and you just see everything that when Sturridge first came to the club. That power and pace that he had to get past players, which seems to be lacking now.
Mm.
But the difference that makes, all he has to do is sit on the shoulder of a player, ball is played through, and there's nobody going to catch him.
Yeah.
And he's just.
I think that probably is why people have asked, why haven't we signed a striker? Because a lot of people don't feel Ings is going to be good enough. A lot of people don't rate Firmino as the main lone striker. So you're saying if we have to wrap Sturridge and cotton wool, then we're left with just Origi who can do the job we want to have done. The issue we have is if we go out and replace Daniel Sturridge, you have to sell him. You know what I mean by that? If you go out and spend 35, 40 million, whatever it is, on a striker that's at the same sort of level as him, you have to sell Sturridge or you're limiting the amount of football that Origi's going to get. And that's not what Klopp obviously wants.
And there's no striker that has Sturridge's quality who's going to be fit all season that we could afford.
Yeah. That's guaranteed to have that quality.
No, sure. It's a dying breed, a striker that's gone to score you 30 goals.
I mean,
Higuain
at 29 just went for 75 million.
Yeah. But that
I
just shows you.
We're just never going to pay him. All
the best players in the world now are playing behind the striker and they score lots of goals, but they go for an awful lot of money.
Yeah. Exactly. And they don't want to come to a team that just finished eighth.
So, like,
you know,
it's just so unfortunate that Sturridge himself is the type of player who needs to be the main man, who needs to be the focal point, because it's kind of what's gonna play himself out of Klopp's long term plans.
Probably so.
Because it's a relationship that can't be sustained. Like, he's gonna be getting too injured too often. Klopp loves Origi, you know. Yeah. And if he's not going to play Origi, he's going to play one of the boys, like Firmino, up top.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's going to start with Firmino. I know we'll talk about it, but I think he'll start
I think even Firmino, probably. And I think Firmino's probably ahead of Ings for playing up top as well.
Yeah, Ings has been suspiciously absent, I think.
Suspicious, yeah, they're
that,
right.
That for me was...
Yeah.
I felt the exact same way about Ings. And I said it to you in WhatsApp. Yeah. I think it's surprising that Ings has not featured at all as much as you would have expected him to feature in pre-season, especially when we had no strikers.
Well, to give Woodburn a game and not give Ings a game...
Yeah.
You know, from the start, it's weird.
Like, we might be reading too much into that. It might be that he had a small niggle. Maybe, they didn't want to give him as much time.
No,
you
just
know.
Well, it does seem throughout the throughout the whole preseason that he's never really got what you feel as like a proper chance. You know, like he's just being in and out, like another one of the kind of really
one of the
fringe
kids.
Players.
Yeah, like the kids.
You know, it just doesn't seem, and he doesn't speak about Ings too much either.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. So how do we feel, I suppose, going into the season? We're, whatever, you know, 6 days away from the start of the Premiership. Obviously all excited, but how do we feel the pre-season has gone? Because, and how will that lead into the season ahead? Because I'm going to start this with Phil, actually, because Phil, you've made your points known to us, maybe not publicly, but to us, that you feel another up and down pre-season has been had. And you feel that that's probably going to lead to another up and down season?
I said, I've been watching this now for fucking whatever amount of years it is since the last time we won the league. And everyone says, oh, don't mind pre-season, it's about players getting fit. If we have a really good season, people will be going in saying, we're playing really well, we're taking loads of momentum into the start of the season. Unfortunately, we're going in with the exact same pre-season as I've witnessed for the last 20 odd years. And I can't help but feeling that I'm going to see the exact same results as I've seen for the last 20 odd years. So we will have to have something really different for something different to happen, essentially, off the same base as we always have. It's like the old, it's the old saying, like as Einstein said, if your pre-season is shit, it's likely your season's going
to
be shit.
He did say that,
he did,
to be fair.
But Dostoevsky actually said that causality and correlation are not the same thing. You know what I mean? So you're saying we've been shit for 20 years, a.k.a. we've always had a crap pre-season, but I'd argue the other way in that it's completely irrelevant what type of preseason we've had because we always end up being shit. So we've had preseasons where we've won all our games.
We have. We're naming them. Year was it?
After Suarez left, we won all our preseason games.
And we beat Dortmund. We smashed Dortmund in Anfield.
They weren't even football teams.
Farmers 11.
Everyone's getting a little insight into our WhatsApp group here, which is Phil going.
But they weren't.
No, you're wrong.
But they weren't football teams.
Don't care.
They weren't fucking football teams.
Point is,
Miners 11 from fucking wherever it was.
Preseason.
Billabong.
Basically irrelevant, except for fitness. And we've played 9 preseason games. I think I read that, like, Man City, for example, are only on their 4th, only played 4. Okay, we've probably done too much travelling, so that's a bit of a waste.
Yeah.
But the results don't matter.
But that's the whole thing. Like, you talk about seasons coming out of a major tournament, like, you know, World Cup or Euros, and you say, oh, that's not it's not great preparation. Yet we go away every year to either Australia or fucking Japan or something.
Yeah.
Well, we're never in Japan, but
it's the commercial,
of course,
side.
It is.
Yeah.
So
it's a thing now where
we beat them.
The money is so much more important than proper preparation. Like, there's not, like, you know, we're always going on about the end towards the end. When you see Klopp when he's had the team, I would have liked to see them staying. Now, I know, like, the value of the club,
I think half the problem was that Anfield wasn't even available for any games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there wasn't even any home.
No,
games
I mean,
available.
Just stay in the UK. Like, you know,
they
could have played a load of away games.
Or
it's unreal.
Head out to Switzerland and Austria.
Yeah.
Unless you're Dortmund or Bayern Munich, they tend not to travel that far. They tend to go to Austria, Switzerland, play
like
their games around.
They fucked off to America and they played in front AC Milan, right, in front of
11 people.
11 people. There was 11 people at that game.
11 people at the game.
Like, if they came,
I think the name was Sons.
If Liverpool come to, and you know, and I seen they were getting kids were getting to meet them and stuff like that. If Liverpool came to Dublin, they're gonna feel
wherever. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't
yeah, and
it's
a catch 22 because if you want to build your supporters base, if you want to create the sort of wealth that United have and catch them in terms of the commercials so we can challenge them in the transfer market and ultimately try win the league.
It has to be done, but we have it prepared properly for a, you know, there is team
Go on, sorry. Go on.
There is teams that stay at home.
Yeah.
And they're better prepared.
Here's the question, though. I suppose, are they? Because, you know, okay, it's a couple of days travelling. I admit that the way it's being done now, for us to go from America to Wembley, to fucking Germany and now back home.
Steve,
again,
they,
that's silly.
They play three games in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it was the middle of the night here. You realise it was just the evening time over there.
But yeah, it was the middle of the night, though. You know?
It was no different than a Champions League game.
What?
They were 7 hours behind us.
How's it no different between a Champions League game?
Because they were 7 hours behind us.
Yeah, they're
okay. So
their body's set up to be
later.
Living here in at this time.
But
they're playing at
there.
4:30 in the morning. Yeah. What? Oh, so everything changes.
You talk about.
They have
when
before,
you go, when you go to America, you don't just walk around at fucking 4:30 in the morning. And say, oh, you live in Ireland. You're
knocking on shops. I'd like to buy something.
If you're a tourist, it doesn't matter, though.
How dare you?
I'd like to
buy
some. What
the fuck are you the balls to?
Excuse me, I'm from Ireland. I'd like to buy some shoes.
It's time for you to go to bed. Do you know what time it is here?
Do you know what time it is in Ireland?
If you're a tourist, and you're
coming. I'm not changing the hands and knees. Watch. You go, fuck off.
Walking around him, my boy. Your watch is wrong, mate. Your watch is wrong.
Sorry, Chief. Sorry, Chief. That big clock on the Parliament is off there by about 11 hours.
Very bright here in the middle of the night, isn't it?
If you're just a random dickhead working in a bank or something, and you come home, it doesn't matter if you're walking around like a zombie for 2 weeks after a trip to America.
Why would you be walking around like a zombie for two weeks?
Because you'd be coming home with jet lag and you'd be fucked.
But you tend to get jet lag on your way back.
But it doesn't matter. It's 2 weeks or we're a week away of being fucked.
Okay.
Okay. So what about all the new age methods of like body condition and all? They put sleep now above anything else.
Yeah.
Diet, exercise, sleep.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of bollocks then, isn't it?
They sleep in America.
They did sleep in America.
Yeah, they did. They did.
They probably even slept on the plane home.
Okay, no, it's fine, yeah.
No, but what
play games
do,
in the middle of the night. We should start
do,
playing all the games in the middle of the night.
But they didn't play.
Because it doesn't make a difference. It might give us an advantage. It might give us an advantage if we just...
We should play all the games.
Yeah,
just
play
all the... I'm trying to defend you.
They're not wanting to defend you. Play all the games at 4 a.m. in Anfield.
Dear Premier League, as of this season, our new kickoff time will be 4 a.m.
Since we go,
and if the other team don't turn up, they forfeit.
Yeah. 3 points in the bag. That's how we're going to get a great home record.
We've got a tour to America next
year. But it doesn't matter.
And we need the lads to climb it.
It doesn't matter. The lads are sleeping all day.
Anyway, I think Andy is right in terms of where we could have a marginal gain over our competitors. Because I don't think we've lost anything by doing this. Because all the other clubs do it. But if we were serious about getting a marginal gain over the likes of United, Chelsea, Arsenal, we could say, we're not travelling. We're taking the entire summer off. We're going to do conditioning, you know,
going to work
in our time zone, in our
how
climate.
Often, how
and get loads
and, like,
of sleep.
All the wankers who do stats and everything say that we lose more games after coming back from a game in Europe.
I agree.
We have Arsenal. It was genuinely fantastic. We have Arsenal this Sunday, 4 o'clock kickoff. How are we lining up? What's the
11.
Thoughts? We're going to go with 11.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's an interesting
start.
Depends
on time we're kicking
remember,
off.
Remember,
now.
I had the formation with 12 in it.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if it's not a 4-2-1-2-3-1 hybrid.
No, what you mean is a 4-2-1-2-1-2 hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a fluid.
It's got to be fluid.
Attitude.
And you must have recurring overlaps from your fullbacks.
What?
Yeah. Recurring overlaps from your fullbacks. It doesn't work without the recurring overlaps from your fullbacks.
Are they inverted overlaps?
Yeah, of course.
This is one of my pet peeves at the moment.
Is
people
underlap?
Using words on Twitter that they don't understand to me. Not. Hybrid is one.
Yeah.
Where they're like, it's a 4-2-2 hybrid.
Yeah.
No, that's one formation. You have to have two for it to be a hybrid.
Yeah.
And then I saw someone the other day saying,
I drive
this
a petrol hybrid car.
Is factually incorrect. But there was no facts in it. So I'm like, how can it be factual? No. It's wrong. No, it's not. It's an opinion. It cannot be factually incorrect if it's an opinion.
Let's play a game.
Jesus.
Words you only see on Twitter.
I like this game. This wasn't even in the plan
no,
for
like,
the pod.
I mean,
I love
just,
it.
Fraud. Just thrown in.
Fraud.
Fraud.
Fume. So is a fraud.
Fume.
Inherently.
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 Yeah.
Another Twitter word.
What would another one be?
Dendrick.
You do realise.
That's a few words, but
that's a term people do.
If
like
you were going around behaving like that in real life, you know, someone says something.
The good chance you get smacked in the mouth.
You do realise you last about a week with teeth. After a week, you have no teeth. And you said, the big, big, big.
Oh, another one is when they've discovered a stat that they think backs up their argument, they start the tweet with, so it turns out...
I finally found one thing that backs up my argument.
So it turns out that Markovic created the most chances in pre-season, so he's not shit, obviously.
Yeah.
Most of us played...
Harry.
But he is a good crosser of the ball.
It was the fault.
I will say one thing about him.
It was a great cross.
He's a very good crosser of the ball. Yeah. He's the only player in the whole team... Bar Ojo, that can cross a ball consistently.
Yeah.
And find
it's just a shame that we don't want to cross.
Talking about footballers as being immensely talented.
Oh, immensely talented.
They're all immensely talented.
Yeah.
They're professional footballers.
I have it. Do you know which one is on Twitter that's never used anywhere else? His ceiling.
Yeah.
In fact, it was ability, not his house, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that you had to clarify that.
Well, I did, because like, people would be going, what's wrong with ceiling? It's a very high ceiling.
Yeah, Arsenal on Sunday. How are we lining
up? Are we home or away?
We are away. We are away for our first three games.
Oh, what time is that?
It's at 4 o'clock, Phil. I'll wake you up for it, don't worry.
I'm on Australian time.
You couldn't watch that at that hour of the day.
Are you in Australia now? Are you in Australia now?
No, he's just getting himself acclimatized.
I've been living in two time zones for the last 6 months, so I'm scaling back to
one. Okay, so obviously Mignolet is starting a goal, because number one, manager is terrible. And number
two, it's toss up.
It's really not.
This is back to
the manager.
This is kind of Brad Jones.
Manninger. Oh, Manninger.
Yeah.
If Emig has a shocker, we'd be calling for Manninger to go in goal.
I really won't.
Same way like we were looking for Jones to go in, or the other spa.
Yeah. Or Bogdan.
We
shouldn't be.
Oh, Milner.
Okay.
Milner.
Mignolet is going to go in. He's going to stay there. And it's actually something that comes up in Tripper's chats in a little while. We'll get to that. But Miggs in goal. Are we agreeing on the back four being Klein? Are we going Clavin and Lovren?
Yeah, absolutely.
With Moreno at left full.
Yeah. The only thing I said here, is that if we want to play counter-attack and we want to sit deep, we want to go with defensive full-backs. Now, Klein does that job. Moreno isn't as defensive, right? Now, when we signed Matip and Klavin, big part of the sales, big part of all the articles about them, both of them can play a fullback, right? Yeah, we've never played them a fullback in preseason. Now, my thinking here is that if Klavin can play a fullback or Matip can play a fullback and we want to play a counter-attacker, I tweeted the same thing last night, why not play them in a back?
I think if we were playing against Palace or someone that plays with it, maybe West Ham that plays with a big man up front, I'd probably argue for that. But with Arsenal, Moreno's recovery pace is going to be important. His ability to tackle is going to be important. Not get beat on the outside.
My only concern, Dave, I think Moreno's a good player. I think he's a good footballer. Everyone gives out about this. But when we're playing, when we want to play an attacking style and our fullbacks are essentially our wingers, he's ideal for it.
The same people giving out about him, by the way, nearly had fucking cardiac arrest 3 years ago when we were going to sign Bertrand ahead of him. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's like, he's a young kid.
He's 23.
He's going to get better. And it comes down to this. Why hasn't Klopp signed a left back? If he's so terrible, why hasn't Klopp signed a left
back? And I think you were at it on Twitter there today and yesterday. He is Klopp's left back. And Klopp likes him.
Exactly.
So, you know,
get used to it.
We might as well get used to it as opposed to figuring out what Klopp's plans are to not have him in the team, because he doesn't have a plan to not have him in the team.
Yeah.
Every left back who are strongly linked to it was an understudy.
And he doesn't get injured, so he very rarely misses matches, you know.
Okay, I think we're agreeing on that back. Klopp's identified priorities and he's addressed them.
If he'd wanted to sign a left back, he'd have one.
If Moreno has another season like he did last season, he's gone.
Yeah.
It's a simple
plus, the other thing is as well, I think fullbacks are by far the least important position on a football field. You know, who is the Leicester left back? No one knows, right?
Fuchs.
Who is the Chelsea left back the year they won the league? It was Aspilicueta. Who is a right back, right?
Isn't Kasper Schmeichel awful fat though? Like, I couldn't get over it in the
He looked fat yesterday,
He looked fucking huge.
They're probably. It's the simplest position to play, but they are kind of like unsung heroes.
Look, all positions are important, but what I'm saying is you can get away with a 6 out
reasonable
of 10 left back.
You can't get away with a catastrophic left full that's gets constantly caught out of position.
The issue with Moreno can
be... We nearly won the league with Ali Sissoko and John Flanagan.
Yeah, but he can be an 8 out of 10 and then a 3 out of 10.
But Flanagan did defend well and Sissoko didn't play too many games.
I don't think Moreno has, and you know, this is just me, I don't think he has 3 out of 10 games.
We're going to get a better view of how good Kloin is this season, because if he has Mane in front of him or Firmino in front of him, he's not going to have the same coverage as having Fallner and Lallana in front of him. Right? That's going to be a big test now to see exactly, because Kloin has been held up as, oh, Kloin is the perfect fullback, and that's exactly what it is. But he's had a big dig out on that right hand side in terms of helping him out. Whereas Coutinho, for all his work in midfield, he's shit as a backup left full.
Final point on Moreno. You know, if you'd asked people a year ago, they would have used exactly the same adjectives about Lovren, and look at the improvement he's made.
I'm not saying Moreno should be got rid of.
No.
I'm saying that we have to accept that he is the first choice for Klopp. Yeah. Or it looks that way. We might be.
And if he doesn't get better, he'll go.
He looks like the type of player who has all the attributes to be a brilliant left foot, ideal left foot, a perfect left foot who can get forward and get back and everything. It's just he's having a bad moment in his career where it just seems like a lot of things are going wrong from my hope for him that will help him is that we're not so wasteful in possession, and that if we do lose the ball in the final third, we don't just concede goals from it.
Yeah.
You know, because hope that we've a better setup, like formation wise and tactically wise, and the team and the players are just better drilled now that they don't have Moreno get exposed many times.
We have to realise we're only back, 5 weeks? 6 weeks maximum, if even, from to pre-season. So the player that finished last season has only had 5 weeks to work with the squad. If we're 6 months into the season and he's still having, you know, terrible games, or there's still points which are just everybody's able to point out that that's the issue, then you're saying, okay, he's at 6 months of 5 days a week being drilled in this, and he's not picking it up, he's probably not going to get.
I think Klopp's ideal signing is probably a bit like Clavin, right, where you bring someone in, but a younger version, where you go, if I desperately need to put him in, I can put him in, but Moreno's my first choice. Bear in mind now, we got Gomez to come back, Klein can play left back. I really like the look of Alexander Arnold, who can cover at right back. So you could end up with Alexander Arnold and Klein playing, right? I mean, you know, there are options there.
Okay. If we're going, we've agreed on the back four then. Who's going? Because we understand we're going to play 4-2 in the middle with 3 in front of that.
4-3.
Behind the one.
Yeah.
Hybrid.
Behind the one.
Who are we going with central midfield?
Emery Chan, obviously. And I think Henderson's going to play. He's going to start. Probably at the expense of either Lallana, which I don't think, because he's been good. Probably instead of Wijnaldum.
Yeah.
See, I don't think Henderson will start. I think he'll play Wijnaldum.
So you think it's Chan and Wijnaldum in there? You think it's Chan and Henderson? In what I would like to see, I probably agree with you. I'd like to see Chan and Henderson in there.
I like the Ings situation. I think the Henderson one is very interesting. I don't think he's a huge fan of Henderson.
Neither do I.
I think if he wasn't a huge fan of Henderson, he'd have taken captaincy away from him.
I don't think necessarily. I don't think he gives a gay about the captaincy.
Because if he's on the bench, he's not captain.
Yep. It doesn't make a difference.
I know what you're saying by that. But I think he might have just done it to make a point and to let Henderson know that he... I think we read too much into the Ings thing. I think we're reading too much into the Henderson thing.
I think Henderson's got a lot to do to get back in that side.
He's looking at Chan as being his sort of controlling midfielder, more or less the fella who's going to be the fulcrum of his midfield, and then the two lads beside him, or one lad that's going to be beside him, they're going to provide the attacking impetus.
I think he's actually playing a one and a two. He's playing Chan and then Wijnaldum and Lallana are ahead of him. Right, so I don't think Wijnaldum's not going to sit, and he's not a box to box. He's going to play as an attacking midfielder.
For me, and it's only a couple of games, so you can't really read anything into it, but I personally haven't seen anything from Wijnaldum that made me think that's a massive upgrade on what we've had there. He doesn't look any better than Henderson. He doesn't look any better than Grujic. You know,
if we're talking about a three-man midfield, it's a toss-up between Chan and any of the other three.
I'll be honest with you, if you just came out of a different country and somebody was showing you games and showed you Ejaria and Wijnaldum in the games and said one of them is a youth team player and one of them just cost 25 million, you'd probably pick Ejaria as the 25 million player. I'm not saying he is one, I'm not being ridiculous.
I think we're fantasizing about Wijnaldum a little bit. Like we were talking about earlier on, where you can pick and choose the Barca game and the Mainz game. You know, and you're a hypocrite if you look into one and you don't look into the other.
Yeah.
Like people are saying, oh, well, Alan's going to be brilliant because he's a midfielder that's going to sit a little bit deep and get forward and score loads of goals. Well, in actual fact, when he scored all them goals, he was playing up top sometimes.
Yeah.
He was playing in a 10, he was playing wide. So, we have to accept that he's probably not going to be that good there.
He's going to be limited. I don't think he's played 15 goals a season from him.
I don't think he's played there, maybe one game or two games
for
Southampton. But before that,
ultimately, you're trusting that the manager has scouted him, identified a role for him, and he knows what he wants from him.
Yeah. I think for him to buy one out of them and drop him straight into that midfield, Klopp knows what he wants from him. That's why I don't think
he's identified him for a specific reason.
If he's thinking about Wijnaldum as one of the attacking players,
but
Henderson's nailed on, and Henderson hasn't been nailed on.
But that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, let's not expect him to look like Steve was saying. If you look to him costing so much money, let's not expect him to be playing that role and impressing us like you're seeing him for Southampton. He was getting up front and scoring goals.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen if he's playing there as a regular throughout the game.
For Newcastle.
I think that I agree with you that he hasn't been brilliant, but he's only been
there for two games. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad move or anything like that. I think we'll see games this season where we just go well, where he'll be excellent, and we'll have games whereby we're like, fucking hell.
I think Henderson's the one that rotates for any of those three.
Khan,
Wijnaldum, or Lallana. Henderson's
the John Henderson and Lallana are going to play, I think.
Yeah. And Phil, what are your thoughts in terms of that central midfield?
No, it's Chan, Wijnaldum and Lallana that starts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like against
Barcelona.
It's going to be funny though when Lovren, Lallana and Marino and Mignolet all start our first game.
Lucas smiling away on the bench.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm ready. Okay, and then are we talking Firmino, Coutinho and Mane?
Firmino 100%. Mane pretty much 100% as well.
So it's Coutinho or Origi.
But I think Coutinho starts.
Coutinho.
So Coutinho starts out left, Mane out wide.
Yeah, Coutinho hasn't been.
He starts, but I wouldn't start him.
Neither would I.
I start Origi, Firmino, and Mane. That's who I'd start.
There's an argument for Origi.
I think I would, and then I'd be very tempted to somehow get Kucic into the team as well.
Andy, if I were you, I'd have my midfield would be Chan, Grujic and Henderson probably.
Yeah,
he didn't look great in the Mainz game though, did he?
No, Grujic. I'd go because I'm looking at the Arsenal midfield, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Arsenal team, and I'm just thinking to myself, we don't want to get overrun in midfield.
I tell you, I would probably go with you in terms of Chan, Grujic and Lallana. Then, if that's the case, I thought Lallana had a great game against Barca.
He was brilliant. Yeah. And I mean, the flick he did for the goal.
Yeah,
and then he did it in his own box later on. Loads of confidence.
He looks, and I really hope this is the case. He looks as though his form from February till the end of the season has continued right in.
Yeah.
And I hope we're finally getting. And I know I've said this tons of times, and I slated him and everything. I'm delighted he's come good, as I will be for if Lucas comes out and has the best season ever this year. Great.
No,
Phil's going to say something, but I'm just saying I don't care who.
I think it's interesting that Klopp has dropped him back. Because what he's now got is essentially Khan, who can do the long passes, but Wijnaldum, Henderson and Lallana, who can all beat the man in midfield and carry the ball forward.
Yeah.
This is where I think why Henderson's going to struggle, because he can't do it as well as the other two.
Mm.
And against Arsenal, you've got two ways to beat them, right? One is you muscle them out of it, which is you play Khan, probably Henderson and Grujic, or you beat them by being quicker than them, which is where I think he might play Lallana, Wijnaldum and Emre Khan.
Okay.
Because they're quick with their feet.
Listen, isn't it really nice to be sat here 6 days out from a season and having genuine options?
Having
a conversation and still a couple to come back from injury. Yeah. You're looking at matchup, he looked off the pace, but that's understandable. But there's no denying he's a decent signing and gives us something different. And we've Sacco still to come back as well. We have four good centre halves now.
Yeah, I mean, four centre halves that if you saw any combination of them,
you'd say okay.
You'd be all right, unless you start hating them.
Can we talk about Grujic for a while?
Yeah,
you love Grujic.
See the way you feel about Grujic.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about Ujarrio.
Yeah, but I suppose Grujic is one that's probably going to get
his looping header was just ridiculous.
It was so audacious. It was ridiculous.
It was so just intentional. It was,
yeah.
When he did I just went. Yeah. When he did it, literally, I just went, "You shoot." Oh, great goal. I was like, what is that? That's yeah. just, you've just headed that over the bar for
a certain, standout.
I knew it was going. The minute he hit it, it just had that curl on it.
The certain standout moments, like when players break on the scene and you just know they're going to be fabulous, you know? Like, and it's, look, it's not always the case. I mean, the first time I seen Origi, I was going, holy shit, what have we bought? Like, what is anything about
not
this
not even
fella?
The first time you saw him. The 8 or 9 yeah. games that Klopp played him.
You know, the first time I saw Markovic, like, we had a good royal laugh about him on WhatsApp that time when he was falling.
With
his run. And his run was just like Benny Hill. It was outrageous, and you're going, oh shit. What
have we signed?
Yeah.
Where's this fella that we were meant to have signed?
But Markovic is a good example to show how some players just come in and make an impact.
Yeah.
And he, you know, 2 years later, Markovic hasn't made an impact.
Now, in fairness, his ball for Grujic was brilliant.
It was I think he was very, aiming for someone else.
that was a shot.
I said it before. I think if Markovic had Klopp from the start, we probably would have had a different
sign. Klopp hasn't, like he said about Benteke, I think we all agree Christian needs to go and find a new club, it's better that he plays. He hasn't said that about Markovic. He what he's kind of said
he's
is
more
listen,
or less out of
them. I think his message
said something
there
might happen before the end of the window.
I think his message there is, listen, if somebody comes in and gives us what we paid for him back,
we'll take it. That's pretty much
because he's looking
squad.
At Woodburn and Ojo and Ilaria and
going back to Andy's point, right? I look at it now and I'm saying, Jesus, I haven't seen that many players arrive into the team and go, fucking hell. Like, Ejaria is one. I don't know where he came from. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he was just this monster of a player.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at him, you just go, holy. And I don't give a damn who he's playing against.
Yeah.
The way he was so composed, no matter what, who he went
wanted
up, it was
the ball.
And it was the same type of performance. It was the consistency in performance that it kept doing.
It's such a pity he picked up a knock. Yeah. It really is from
Ojo's the same. You look at him, you go, this kid could just destroy it.
Head up.
Absolutely.
Head
everyone.
Up. Composure.
Always knows where the thing is.
Brannigan.
Kids to have that.
I like Alexander Arnold.
It's the sort of confidence that Rooney, Sterling, that have come on the scene. It's that confidence that
it's
you
when love. It's when Gerrard came into the team and Fowler came into the team and Owen came into the team. Even our mate last week.
Yeah.
Tomo.
Yeah.
Our mate.
Our pal Davey Tom.
When he came into the they came in with like a real ballsy attitude and they were playing just with the boys last week for the underage teams.
Yeah.
But the other thing is as well, to use the Twitter word ceiling, when you watch Randall play, you know he doesn't have much further to go, right?
No.
But you watch some of these boys play and you're like, I mean, Woodburn didn't have a great game, but the few touches he had, you're like, He's got something here.
He's
and that's without
ballroom sized ceilings. Yeah. That's how big their ceilings are. Ballroom sized. No, chandeliers and everything dangling
from
the bastards.
It's a while since we've had players come in from the youth setup where you didn't have to make up their future. You didn't have
to pretend.
Oh, he could.
Yeah, you don't have to pretend they were better than they actually. Yeah. You knew they
if
were.
He did this and then did this.
What Woodburn was showing, the way he was spinning off, like and his touches and all, it was an experienced player.
You know what it is, 16. And let's not go over the top with it, but it's when you used to see those Arsenal teams in the Carling Cup, and you'd go, how have they got 7 or 8 youngsters like that that just look quality? I know they would, and that may happen to half of these as well because that's just football. Yeah, that's what happens.
I've never seen a player make an impact as Damien Plessis in his first game for Liverpool when he played against Arsenal. I've been waiting for fucking 8 months to remember what his name was, and I just remembered it there. I had to get it in.
But it's the same as Rossiter. People were talking about Rossiter as he was going to be the next Gerrard, but I think we always said we never saw it. We were always more impressed with Jordan Williams. Actually, I always thought he
had
a bit
more
in his locker. But the point is with these, but we've been waiting for a long time for like this group to come through where you get like 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah.
If only 3 of them make it, let's say Woodburn, Ojo, and Alexander Arnold. Yeah. I can't say the other guy's name. If those 3 come
malaria.
Through,
you know your man malaria.
That's fucking amazing. The money we just got, I read somewhere, the money we got for Canos and someone else, maybe Sinclair,
paid for
the academy for like 3 years or something.
One
like
of
that.
The lads did that on, he was just talking about the basic running costs of an academy.
I read them figures and he didn't factor in the electricity
Huge. It's huge. Because they have big neon big. Signs out
it's
there.
It's the NAS, the floodlights. Floodlights. Because they train during the night 16. To set themselves up for the
next season.
Did they not use the glow in the dark grass? You don't need fluorescent lights then.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. What's our predicted scores for Arsenal?
Well, first of all, Arsenal. Who's playing for Arsenal?
They've only got what's the young lads?
I don't
name?
Believe
they signed off.
These are doing typical rugby stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. They all show up on. Sort of, I'm feeling okay. Actually,
we've no centre halves. Yeah, no
we should assume they're full strength.
Yeah. I think they're talking about Koscielny, Gabriel, and Mertesacker all being injured, so they only.
Well, Mertesacker's definitely out until Christmas time,
and Gabriel's definitely out because he's done as bad as.
Who's the fella they just signed off?
Rowland.
Is that who they
Holby.
Holden.
Holden. Robert, got there. Rob Holden, is it? So they've got Holden at centre-half. Apparently, that's the only fit centre-half they have.
But they reckon they're going to sign... Well, they reckon they'll sign someone.
Sacko.
Cheat.
Okay, so listen...
He'd fit the Arsenal profile.
We can't...
Fella that's injury-prone.
Listen, we can't really...
Walcott's playing it on the right wing, and he's been very good in pre-season.
Yeah, and he said that now... And Sanchez is fit. Yeah. He said finally he's happy to go and play there. He wants to make that his position in the team.
Oh, he's happy to go and play in the only position he's ever going to get a game.
Fair play to him.
I finally found out I'm not very good up front and therefore I'm winning.
Is Xhaka fit for him?
I don't know. Fit.
Xhaka against Chan will be...
Xhaka Ramsey, Khan.
Yeah. So it'll be Xhaka.
Xhaka Khan.
Xhaka, Ramsey and Cazorla probably, right? Ozil's not fit, I don't think.
No, he's not.
Ozil's not fit. Is Ramsey fit?
Let's have some predictions from you, boys.
I haven't seen him not fit.
Dave?
But then prediction. You wouldn't know.
Is Giroud playing?
We'll win 2-0.
Okay, Andy?
3-1.
Going for the old Steve-O special.
Yeah.
Love it.
Did away from it home against Arsenal, 1-1 draw.
And I'm actually going to back Philip on this. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. And I think that's a decent result. Mm. Okay, so...
I just think we're going to win very convincingly and everyone be mad excited. Like.
And then so who, what we're who's our next
do,
match?
I've decided...
to Bournemouth.
I've decided what we're going to do this season until we decide we're not bad at our arse in 3 weeks' time is all of us, not just the ones in the studio each week, we're all going to put up our predictions. 1 point for a correct prediction, 3 points
so we
for
just the Sky thing.
Yeah, basically it's like what the lads on Soccer Saturday
but then
do.
We have to remember to do it. That'll never happen.
I'll throw it in a lovely Excel spreadsheet, we'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll bang it out on the Twitters.
And does this count the active members or the...
Can you save it in numbers for me?
No. Like, does Damo get to do it?
Yeah, Damo.
Does Carl get to do it?
Yeah, they are members. So
does Jer get to do it?
Jer gets to do it.
Jer's our new contributor.
Special contributor. Special correspondent.
Well, I tell you what he's doing. Jer is our muse. That's what Jer is. Jer is our muse. Okay, so we've covered the Arsenal game. I'm happy with that. How are we feeling about the actual season ahead in terms of what way the Premiership is going to line up? We don't need to go in too much detail. Let's each have a little shout about who we feel is going to win the league, what we think the top four will be, what we think the bottom three will be. Because in between, it doesn't matter.
I think horrifically, I think United are going to do well this year.
Mm.
I think they're going to just Mourinho the league. No, it's enough to win the league with Guardiola there and whoever else in the league.
Conte
at Chelsea.
Wenger. Klopp.
Wenger. I just look at them and it's just everything you just look at them and say ballot bastards.
Yeah, you just okay, we'll go around and come to me last. You're thinking winning the league is United. What's your top four?
City's going to be interesting. See how can Guardiola implant himself and implant it on that team before the transfer deadline, because I looked at City and I know they've done a bit of business, but it's not like they've done massive wholesale changes to that squad.
Mm.
And when you looked at the end of last season, they looked.
They bought four players.
He's left Boney and Mangala out there this week.
So Boney's meant to be available for 14 million quid.
Yeah,
like we could swap them. Benteke.
Leicester are looking at him.
I take Mangala, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And we don't need him.
When I look at City, I'm just looking at them saying, I don't know. They've got Hart in goal. He's fucking horrific, right? So he's always going to cost them points.
I think Hart is kind of a better Mignolet, isn't he?
Massively overrated.
Yeah.
Then I look at Chelsea. I've paid no attention to what business they've done. Who have they signed? Michy Batshuayi.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kante.
And who?
Kante.
Off Leicester.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right.
That is a good signing.
It is a good signing. Yeah.
For the way,
have they replaced their centre backs?
No,
I thought they bought one.
they've signed, they have Zouma still, don't they?
Yeah, Zouma's back now, I think. Cahill. Soon enough. Cahill. Terry stayed on for another year.
See, when I saw us playing against Chelsea in that pre-season friendly, you could see how teams are going to isolate Terry again if he's playing many games.
They may do.
The only thing I'd say with Conte is...
The way Conte plays, Terry
might be
okay.
Are we going around the fucking table here or what? Or was it one-on-one with Phil? What's happening here?
No, we're going
to do all 20 teams or what?
Yeah, but we've time to kill.
So, Dark Horse is down, outside of them. Spurs.
Well, that's your four.
I don't think Spurs are going to do well.
So, who makes the four?
Why don't you think Spurs are going to do well?
Because the Spurs, like, eventually
Spurs last season, they got 60 mid 60 points, and
they'll do the
that's
exact
not
same.
Good enough.
They'll do the exact same this
year,
and they'll probably end up finishing sixth.
Yeah. And they were okay last year. I said this when it was March or something, that they would end up blowing.
Everybody was fooled into thinking they were great with Pochettino. They were no better than the season they had.
Harry Redknapp there.
Yeah, and they had Van der Vaart being deadly.
Yeah, you know, that's they Spurs their way through the season. Just the other teams around them weren't as good.
Then I don't even know who was promoted and stuff. Middlesbrough up, aren't they?
Yeah. Hull are up.
Then Middlesbrough do. Hull will go Burnley. Straight back down. Burnley will go back down, and then it's toss up between Sunderland and whatever other show random teams that are in the league these days. Watford.
Okay.
Whoever.
Andy.
Yeah, I mean. When you look at it, there seems like there's a lot of teams that can win the league because you've got the return of Chelsea and the return of United into that sort of, you'd really fancy them to be top four. But then, like, you still have last year's champions like Leicester. They're not going to just go away. They're going to get loads of points. And, like, there's only so many points up for grabs. So the teams down the end and the mid-table are going to be still strong. So, like Phil, I think... I'm really, really, really fearing Man United again. And I think they could be around for two or three seasons now, and you never know what could fucking happen. So I'm shit about them. I think they'll be challenged for the league. Arsenal won't be. They'll be up there top four. But the potential to get your kind of 80 points plus City and United.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea, the way they play, might take a while to kind of... They'll be very good defensively, but might draw a lot of games with him. And then us sneak in there, maybe. Okay, so I'm going to say Man United to win the league, City to come second fairly closely.
Chelsea.
No, Arsenal, then us, and then Chelsea.
Okay. Dave?
Well, I think we'll win the league.
Okay. That's why you wore your jersey?
That's why I wore the jersey, and I have reasons for it. We're not in Europe. I think our squad is stronger than it's been for a long time. I'm going to go against the grain. I think United are going to implode. I think if you look at Mourinho's success, it's always built on defence, right? And I know he signed that Bailey guy.
Yeah, Bailey.
But they still don't have a top right back. They have one good centre-half then, if we include him. I don't know if Shaw is back or Shaw's going to be fit.
Did you not think that Smalling had a good season last year? I'm not talking about
him
being a world
leader. I think he was the tallest dwarf. I don't think he was that great. But I don't think he's not John Terry, is he? You know what I mean? Mourinho teams are built on...
That leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've just spent 100 million on Pogba. Okay, Pogba's a great player, right? A very good player. But he's not gonna win the league for him. Like, he's not a 30-goal-a-season striker or anything like that. Their best player they've signed is Mkhitaryan, right? Mm. But they were probably relatively strong in that end of the field. You know, so it means that Mata's probably not going to play, or Rashford's not going to play, or whoever, you know, they have there. And Mourinho's already fallen out with people. I mean, you know, him and Mata had a disagreement yesterday. Okay, but he's going to end up playing Zlatan and Rooney up front. And there's no pace in that team. You know, Mkhitaryan's not quick either. So I just got this feeling.
Why do you think he's going to play Rooney and Ibra as a...
He's definitely going to play Ibrahimovic, right? And Rooney's captain. So
yeah,
he's going to play.
He has said he's not playing Rooney in midfield. He said to play Rooney in midfield is madness. That was his.
I can't remember Mourinho having a team where he played two strikers.
No.
Well, who's he going to leave?
Is he going to play Rooney as a 10?
Yeah, he'll play Rooney as a 10.
Yeah, he is.
So then
you're looking at him leaving out a couple of quality players.
And the other thing is, as well, United have the Europa League.
Yeah.
So, you know, and depends on how he goes about it.
That's where he might use those players that
maybe.
Are on the Memphises and the
I
Rashford,
just don't think they've done enough. They signed four players, and don't get me wrong, two of them are very good players, right? Mkhitaryan and Pogba. I think Ibrahimovic, okay. Bailey, I don't know enough about him, but he seems okay. But I just don't think they've done enough to go from sixth to first.
Yeah, look, I just think you're looking at a very, very strong spine.
Yeah,
and I was thinking of United being not in Europe as well. My assessment, but of course they're in it.
They might just choose not to do
good,
anything.
They have a good spine.
So I'm actually a little unsure about a lot of teams. Yeah. I'm unsure about Chelsea as well. I'm not sure Chelsea have done enough. The only advantage they have is they're not in Europe either.
Yeah.
And Conte is very good tactically and very good fitness wise. A little bit like Klopp.
Yeah, they
do have the team that were champions two seasons ago.
Exactly.
But you know, Fabregas is a year older. You know, Costa's disillusioned. So. You know, it's probably going to Batushi.
The only thing is...
Unless they sign Lukaku or something like that.
So who's your top four then?
So Liverpool to win the league.
Okay.
City second.
Yeah.
Arsenal third.
Yeah.
Probably Chelsea fourth.
Okay. And I think Spurs will finish outside again.
And United will finish outside.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Spurs will plummet.
I think, I do think United will do it. I think they have enough. I think Ibrahimovic has... shown
just
no
be that arrogant fucker
that they need. And you know what, he'll be a I think Mkhitaryan is a brilliant signing, or should be a brilliant signing for them. Pogba I think will be an excellent signing for them again. And I think ultimately what you had with Mourinho at Chelsea was him and an owner who were at loggerheads. Now he's got owners who are in the US, who really only care about the bottom line, who aren't going to be trying to meddle in the actual on-team affairs. And he's got Ed Woodward there, who isn't a football guy. He now has a club where he was nearly like it was for him, Chelsea, the first time. He was able to go into Chelsea at the beginning and say, I am the man, this is how I'm doing it. And I think at United now he has that chance again.
And he has well for him, I think he has to recognise that he's hit a very stale part of his career and he's still young. If he wants to have a future in football, this kind of needs to work for him.
Yeah.
And he needs to tone down on a few of the things that's caused some problems over
maybe
the last
he's
few
not
years.
Capable of that. We'll find out. But I think he is the man to come. I think United top it. I think then in the top four after that, it's City, Chelsea and Liverpool.
So can I ask a question on United, right? Yeah. So take Liverpool out of it for a minute. Listen, you know, I don't want to be
look at it logically,
But how have United improved more going from what they've added to
the positions. Because there was only a certain
you're saying
United
are going to win the league, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying that United have improved.
They finished joint fourth. Finished with the same points as
how many points did they have?
City have added
how many points?
Gundogan, right? They've added Nolito. They've added Jesus. Who else have they added? City.
But I don't rate Nolito.
But
you think
they already had De Bruyne, Aguero.
But
Sterling.
They finished level on points.
They're dangerous.
They finished level on points.
They underperformed.
With United.
Same as United underperformed, right? And you're saying the United have added more than City have added.
Definitely. But sorry, to get back to it, I think Spurs drop out. I think Leicester drop out, and I think Arsenal finally drop out.
Yeah. Are we doing who's going down?
We can. Like I think Hull are guaranteed.
I'm going to throw a wild card in and say Swansea.
Yeah, well,
they'll be thereabouts.
Yeah, I think they're
and Southampton will have a tough season.
You're looking at Watford, Bournemouth, Sunderland.
Sunderland stay up. Bournemouth will stay up.
Who's manager of Sunderland now?
David Moyes.
Yeah, Moyes. No, they're staying. No, I think.
But all these fuckers have probably bought loads of players for 30 million.
Yeah, we just haven't seen them.
Stoke could be decent this year.
I think Sunderland are the sort of team that could absolutely end up signing Benteke. Sunderland could. We could get a 28.
Whoever signs Benteke that
moves them into the middle of the division.
I agree. Yeah,
There's a lot of posturing going on about the whole Benteke thing. Like,
hello, this is Ronnie Whelan here, and you're listening to Tripper Chats. Unbelievable stuff. You ask me anything about Liverpool FC, I will answer it immediately. I'm an encyclopedia. As you know, I played for Liverpool in the 1980s, won many trophies, played with the likes of Kenny Dalglish, Graham Souness. Oh, what a team we were. We were just unbelievable. Anyway, Tripper Chats, send us your questions now. Ronnie Whelan here.
First one up is Pierce Sloan, and he says, can each of you name who you feel is the most overrated and underrated member of the current squad?
Oh God, I can read Phil's thoughts already. Go on, Phil.
Let's see if you can. Go on.
So the most overrated, you're going to say Milner?
No, because he's shit. Like, he's not overrated. So
no. If you obviously like Milner.
Most overrated player, I'd say, probably is Coutinho.
Right. Underrated?
He's very inconsistent. But people just ignore it because he does come up with brilliant moments.
Yeah,
of absolute brilliance.
He's a flash. But he is a magician.
He is very...
Yeah, but that kind of makes his overratedness... justified, like
no,
that nearly even makes it worse.
Would you build a team around Coutinho?
No,
there you go.
No, but yeah.
And that's why I know big teams have.
Is he rated like that?
Yeah, by our fans, he is.
Yeah,
And by match of the day,
and I love him. Don't get me wrong, I do love him as a player. I love when he does the thing. But I'm not going to turn around and say that he's good enough to be included in the top bracket of players in Europe, which he isn't. But that's how people rate him and talk about him.
And view him, yeah. So who's our most underrated?
Most underrated, I would say, is Lovren. Because he just gets absolute dogs. The stuff that he was given out, being given over pre-season. And I'm not. And the other thing is, I'm not a huge fan of Lovren. It's not like I'm sitting here and I've been praising him since day one, right? But like, I'm not going to turn around and like the shite that went on during pre-season with him, for like, oh, look, there he is again, out of position. He's always doing that.
Yeah, he was winning a header 15 yards away. He can't immediately be 15
clean
yards
sheet.
Back.
Another clean sheet.
I think it was Einstein that said, you know, opinions change when the facts change, right? You know, and it's like some people don't want to change their opinion when the facts change.
Andy, most overrated, most underrated?
Sacco's the most overrated. Because he's not the best centre-back in the world.
Yeah.
Despite what a lot of people think. And he's not the best centre-back at Liverpool.
Yeah.
And underrated will be Lallana.
Yeah,
like although Lallana's numbers don't always add up, there's a bit of a kind of a glue about him in the team, like that he does link things well together and he does use the ball well enough, although he doesn't create chances.
Yeah,
like
Markovic.
But there's a lot of players who don't do fuck all and create a lot of chances.
Yeah,
they're what we used to call cheats in football.
Yeah, and they show up four times in a game. And their numbers look good, but what they're adding for the other 87 minutes doesn't actually matter.
I think, like Phil, I mean, I like Lovren, and I think he's underrated too.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's amazing or anything like that. I just don't see it with Saka. I just don't see why you would think he's so good when he's not.
Dave?
Underrated, as in where they are versus how people describe them.
Jose Enrique.
No, I think Mignolet. Right, because people talk about him as if he has no hands.
Yeah.
Like, he's a clusterfuck.
No. So for me,
just wait until about 2 weeks' time.
Shut up. So for me,
no.
If you hear the way people talk about him,
overruled.
He's not a good goalkeeper. He's not good enough for us to be.
He
is a good goalkeeper. He's not good enough for us to be where we want to be. But he is not as bad as people.
He's probably the best second choice keeper in the Premiership.
Not. And then underrated.
No, he isn't.
Oh, he would be.
So he's better than Begovic.
Yeah.
I mean, bollocks he is. Fuck off. Yeah. The fella can't catch a cross. He's kick.
See, Begovic is another match of the day keeper.
At least Begovic can kick a ball. Loads of Mignolet can't kick a ball.
Tons of fans.
And he can't throw a ball.
Okay. Listen.
Can't kick or throw a ball.
Sorry, hang on a second.
And things go through him.
Phil, you've had your answer.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay, well then.
Underrated. I mean, I do agree, obviously, on the Lovren point. I think Firmino is quite underrated, actually. I think if you look at his output, he deserves to be spoke about the way the likes of Paye were last season and things like that. I thought he had a great first season. So, I mean, again, I would agree with the people that the lads have already mentioned. So I'm trying to go
different. Yeah, no, I understand.
So Firmino, I don't think... If you compare Firmino and Coutinho and the praise that both of them get, for me, Firmino is offering us more at the moment. They're not getting the same level of praise.
Yeah.
But that's exactly it with Firmino. Like, he's coming up with the numbers, but he's also doing an awful lot of stuff that Lallana does as well. Yeah. Like,
yes.
He's a fabulous player.
For me, underrated, because I'm going to yet again try and pick someone that you lads haven't, I think underrated is probably Henderson. You know, a fella that had a bad injury last season and didn't have a good season, but people were talking this pre-season about being glad he was being sold. I just don't understand.
It's unfair not to allow him the excuses that maybe
anybody would
have got.
Storage, gets it. He's been injured. How could you expect it from him? Henderson's been injured. Yeah, he's just not good enough. Get rid of him.
Henderson was brilliant in that season.
Yeah,
we had this discussion.
And he chips in with assists. Mm. He scores goals. And he has bagged if his heel is fixed, and we don't know yet, and we won't know for a little while, he has bags of energy. He might be finished. he has bags of energy to add to it.
I put a suspension in that season down to us not winning the league.
Yeah. Him Martin being sent off against City.
There's been an anti-Henderson agenda since the day he signed for the club.
Maybe so. I think
because when Dalglish signed him, he stuck him out on the right wing, and immediately people became, and what the fuck are we doing signing him for 100 million quid and sticking him out on the right wing? He shit is. And that's been an underlying impression people have had since he signed.
Yeah, I have a huge amount of time from overrated, and I'm probably going to, I won't say cause a stir with this one. I think, in terms of where, as you said, people view the player compared to where he probably actually is Emre Can. And I really like him.
Yeah, Emre Can
he's not Busquets, he's not Iniesta, he's not fucking, you know.
You're not recognising the ceiling.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like it's kind of like what I was saying about the young player. He's Emery Chan is all about what he can be.
What he can
be. And I'm a real victim of that. I think. I love him, and I think he's going to be great.
But I'm putting my logical hat on here, and I'm saying, as fans, we're all overrating him.
I think he's going to be great because I've invented.
A vested interest.
A new Emery Chan.
Yeah.
I've invented what he can be.
Yeah.
Without actually
and in your head, you haven't seen it. In your head, it's happened, but it hasn't actually happened.
For some reason, I think he's going to score goals.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Next one up is from Ben Webb, and he asks, Adam Lallana, bench or starter?
Oh, starter.
Boring.
Doesn't matter. It didn't have.
Who cares? Fuck them all. I don't care about football anymore. Come on, get on with the funny ones. I'm sick of this shit.
Such a tosser.
I usually say that.
I know. It's just like we've been talking football for ages.
Okay, given the chance of any car over 20 years old, what would you pick?
Money? Over 20 years old.
And Phil, not the Batmobile. that's coming in from Tiger Tracy.
But there's a range of fucking Batmobiles. Like, that's,
you can't have any of them.
You can't have any of the Batmobiles.
None. And you can't have Herman Munster's hearse either. I've just put that in.
Or can you have a van? Car.
You can have whatever you want after that.
I saw one of those Dodge vans, you know the ones you use for the 18?
Yeah.
I saw one on the N11 there a couple of days back. It was obviously going out to be sprayed, and it looked like the coolest thing. You know, it has the wheels? You know, it was deadly.
So what are you going for?
I would probably go for one of those Ford Jeep things that Colt Seavers used to drive in the 80s. You know,
like a Bronco?
No, not the Bronco, because the Bronco has the back end. It's like it was like just
can
a
you help our younger listeners pickup. Understand.
It was a pickup, like an F-150.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, the brown one with the big lights for hunting.
Okay.
Going out and hunting the animals.
It's probably an F-250. I don't know the one, but the F-250 is the slightly bigger one.
Yeah, with the joint wheels on it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So when it jumped over the hills.
Yeah.
It bounced.
It's an F-series, by the sound of it. That's their pickup trucks.
Yeah, that would be deadly.
Andy, what's yours? Over 20 years old.
A Mustang.
Yeah.
67
fastback.
Yeah, one of them.
Okay.
I don't know.
Eleanor from.
I was just thinking it.
The gone in 60 seconds.
There's loads of cars you would take, but
like over 20 years.
It's a
Lamborghini Countach.
Yeah. Dave.
A Frontier Cosworth.
Yeah. Pontiac Trans Am.
It talks to you. No, actually, kit. Yeah, not the model.
Just actual kit.
Arguably, the Ferrari and Magnum. Would fucking
you was fucking
that,
love
was that a 308 oh, it was a 308 or a 348 I can't remember.
If I was able to get one, like you go full Magnum, like you wear the shorts and everything.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, if you lived in Hawaii,
I don't have the Ferrari and I still wear the shorts.
Yeah.
I think I'd go
one of the old Skylines as well. They'd be nice.
Yeah, I think I'd go for a DB5, Aston Martin DB5. Like what? Yeah, but it's a lovely.
Yeah, you know your cars.
Yeah.
Streethawk.
Okay, most embarrassing time you ever had trying to chat up a chick. That comes from John Cullinan 6.
Years ago, there's a book, I don't know if any of you have read it, it's called The Game by Neil Strauss, and it's about how to be a pickup artist.
A player,
right?
Yeah.
But you have to be like American to pull it off, right?
Yeah. And in America.
And in America, right? You can't do it in Swansea, which is where I'm from. So one of the things that they say to you, or I think one of the tips, I kind of remember it, was like to go up to someone and say, my friend just got a call from Jerry Springer or something like that to go on a show. Should he go on or something like that? You know, like the way to open up the conversation.
Jeremy Kyle.
So that's what I said. I mean, I can't remember if it's Jeremy Kyle or Trisha or something. Yeah. I was like,
Trisha.
You know, see my mate over there. Yeah, he's just got a call from Trisha, and she was like, who's Trisha? I'm not Trisha. No, I know you're not Trisha. I said, you know, Trisha the show. No, what are you talking about? I was like, off again.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just
doesn't matter.
Yeah,
so that
Decker.
Was probably the worst one.
So, yeah, punched her in the face.
Comment on Jeremy Kyle.
Alex,
who would go on Jeremy Kyle? I never understood that.
Like why would you go on Jeremy Kyle?
If your wife said to you, listen, we're going to London next week, pack a bag, and we're going to go on Jeremy Kyle because I got something to tell you.
Yeah.
Who'd go to that?
Oh, there's nothing good that's going to come out of that. Yeah. It's not like
you can't win there, can
no,
you?
Absolutely.
Like, you know,
no.
Yeah, you're finding out that your dad's your brother as well. Alex Barilaro asks, what food do you hate eating, but would you eat if you were given 50 quid?
So
something you really don't like eating, but if given 50 quid,
mushrooms.
Yeah. Oh, it's just like, would you eat this for 50 quid?
Yeah.
As opposed to, if somebody gave you 50 quid, you'd still eat it anyway.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like you hate it, but if given 50 quid, you'd eat
it. But there's nothing you wouldn't eat for 50 quid.
Yes, there is. There's a ton of shit. I don't need 50 quid that bad that I will eat some of the shit.
Like food?
Yeah. Like
what,
I wouldn't
what
eat
wouldn't
tripe.
You eat?
I wouldn't eat tripe for 50 quid.
You wouldn't eat a little bit of tripe for 50 quid?
No.
Why?
Because I don't need 50 quid that bad.
No, it's not about needing 50 quid. It's just that there's no food that is that horrible.
Yes,
that
you tripe is.
Everyone has things. Like, I won't be able
cucumber.
To eat
cucumber can fuck off.
Cucumber.
You won't be able to eat an orange.
I can't eat them. I can't deal oranges. The fucking smell and everything. I swear to God, they
what's
just do. And if somebody sits beside me and starts eating an orange, I have to leave.
See, I have.
Oh, we're all bringing oranges. Yeah.
Do you know the way you can taste that in cucumber?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know about that? There's a story about that.
It's a gene.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have a gene, and you're either born with it or you're not, basically.
What?
Yeah. There's some name for the actual gene. But it's known as the cucumber gene. It genuinely is.
And what does it do?
It basically heightens the smell and flavour of cucumber. So if you literally, you mightn't have it. So if it's cucumber in your salad, you wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have it and there's one piece of cucumber put into a full salad,
that
you can taste
like
it all.
Yeah, I think most people just think a cucumber kind of tastes like water.
Yeah, and it doesn't. Yeah. It's fucking rank.
And they actually used to use it for paternity tests.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Imagine though, like.
And the same with asparagus. Yeah. Now, I can't remember whether if you had asparagus and your piss didn't smell like asparagus or else you couldn't smell it off your piss. Can't remember which one it
is. Which
way
went. Like sugar puffs as well?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think they were around.
So, best crisp.
Best crisp?
Yeah.
O'Donnell's have made a fucking...
Anything.
Do you know what, right?
And Keogh's. Keogh's are really
stop fucking getting them now on the way home. Any crisp, right, that's handmade in a big bag is
that's
nice
like
now.
A papery type bag.
Do you remember years ago, like, Walker's crisps and all that? They were shy. Yeah. The only nice crisps...
Because they were like... They were. You could see through them nearly.
But there was no flavour in them.
Yeah.
Tato and King were the only crisps. Yeah. I think it's because we were allowed to just put as much salt... in this country
as you wanted. Yeah.
And then we joined the EU and it fucking
and then they had to take it. We should leave.
So this comes in from Shane 2901. That's who asked about the best crisp. Leave the
Annie
EU
knows.
Because of the crisp.
But when it comes to crisps, you got to pay for quality, right? You can't go for cheap crisps.
But what's great? Tesco always have one of the fancy crisps for €2 in a big
There's always a special on.
Whether it's
O'Donnell's so the Tato specials or whatever.
Is it O'Donnell's?
Yeah, O'Donnell's are the red pack. Then you have Tato Bistro is another one.
Tato Bistro.
They're lovely. And
the chili ones of them.
Keogh's are classic.
Keogh's are lovely.
Walkers have a fancy one as well.
Walkers fine.
They
is do. Walkers fine?
For me,
Sensation.
Bistro. Yeah. Bistro salt and vinegar are the best salt and vinegar crisp out there because they're the only one everybody's using cider, apple cider vinegar or so. They're the only ones using malt vinegar and it makes
salt
all the
and
difference.
Vinegar's for girls. Fucking
no chance. Bistro salt and vinegars and then a bag of O'Donnell's cheese and onion or the Dubliner, the Keogh's
Dubliner. They're actually for those pretendy disease ones.
Batch loaf.
Lads.
Pretend
the gluten. The gluten free.
Keogh's and O'Donnell's are and Beast, they're all gluten free.
It's
typical. It is typical.
That used to be my coming home from the pub locked. I'd go in and two packets of King, four slices of crisps, and a pint of milk. Yeah. And I tell you what, the next morning you're fucking brand new.
It is fucking.
It's like you didn't drink.
It is another symptom of the generation snowflake is people that are gluten intolerant.
Yeah.
Like. Years ago, if you just had like a shoy after a sandwich, like you just get on with your life.
Now you'd say,
oh my god!
It's great fun.
Oh my god! Oh no,
I'm having flashbacks to previous pod.
They made up diseases now. Oh, there's a reason for that now. You just have to avoid certain foods. Fuck off.
What we're going to do is we're going to take a bit of your hair out of your head and we're going to tell you the 142 things that you're sensitive to.
We're going to check.
And
we're going to check.
Anna,
the test starts at €1,000. Mum, you can have €1,000 because I have a sore belly. Years ago, you get the head slapped off you.
No more crisps for you. That's what you got to No more crisps for you. £1,000 saved.
Yeah. Bill.
Job Bill in your face.
And when you got a job, you bought crisps and you suck it up.
And you shit in the bush.
Oh, fucking
so you imagine now you were eating crisps again.
I'm sick of them all. I'm sick of them all.
Crisp Dobbs 83 asks, and we sort of touched on Twitter earlier on, and he said, please don't take such a long time off again. I've been bored as hell. Will you ever have Dave Hendrick on the show?
I said it today because I was on the Twitter earlier on, and open invite's there. So basically, he doesn't like many people that's in the pod, but there's an open invite that if everyone wants to come on the pod and debate with the lads, he's
I don't understand. There's loads of people I don't like. Like, there's lads on Anfield Index I don't like, and you know what I mean. Or I won't say I don't like them. I disagree with their views on Twitter, is what I should say. I don't know.
Yeah, but
them.
You don't block. I don't them know. Like
I've
that.
Never blocked a person on Twitter in my life. No, it's absolute wanker behaviour. Yeah. And Thomas beside me here does it huge amounts.
You're a terrible
you?
Blocker.
You're a fucking blocker. All
you're
over
an
the
awful
shop.
Blocker.
Yeah, but anyway,
there's absolutely to be no fair, excuse you know for blocking on Twitter unless you're being harassed.
I will give
by a dickhead.
Yeah, and to be fair, I have harassed Simon Brundish a little bit, and he hasn't blocked me. And I have to say, fair play to him for that. I haven't given him abuse in a good while, but fair play to him for not blocking. Yeah. You know,
I like Simon.
Okay, we wrap up with a couple more. What's the most interesting dream you've ever had? That comes in from Jurgernot, and it's at GD_88.
How do you do an interesting dream? Like, it's interesting when you're in it.
Yeah, but like, I've had loads of interesting ones when I was in them.
I dreamt that I did dream that the Terminator was chasing me once, and I was hiding under like a railway bridge, and he was standing on top. I don't know where that came from, but that was pretty freaky.
I think men have better dreams than women. Because whenever
sexist sexism on the pod.
That's such a white straight male thing.
It's such a white straight man thing. You're in your white straight man bubble, Phil.
You're such a YSM.
I don't care.
Even though if you get
you
any more
just
time, you won't
your Twitter
be a
handle
anymore.
To YSM.
When I come back, you won't recognise me.
Yeah. Right. Do you ever have recurring dreams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it?
I was on this pod for 4 years.
That's a nightmare, buddy. That's a nightmare. Okay, we move on. Jay Reid, 1987, says, he sends us in a picture of the lifeguard at the swimming in the Olympics, and he says, seems as though this fella has the most pointless job as a lifeguard. What pointless jobs have you had?
So my first job leaving school was I worked in Burger King. Right. And the first job that you do when you join Burger King is you feed the frozen meat patties into the broiler machine. Yeah. And you do that for 8 hours.
Right.
That's literally what you do for 8 hours. Just feeding meat in.
Like, this fella was a lifeguard for a bunch of Olympic swimmers. Yeah, yeah, so, you know what I mean?
But well, like, okay. Well, I've never done anything.
He's the opposite of your job.
Yours was very useful. Otherwise, there'd be no fucking burgers.
Okay, but in fact, has a number of connotations.
I would say that your job was one of the most important. You were putting the burgers in a place called Burger King.
But pointless as in monotonous, boring, irrelevant to my life.
I get you. Yeah. Well, my most pointless job was I worked in Super Quinn when I was a kid.
That sounds very
important. And I used to have to get up at... start at 7 in the morning to mind the car park where all the cars only start coming in at 10 o'clock.
Depends, though. Nowadays, if they were on American time...
Yeah. I was just getting myself ready for what was coming. So, yeah, basically, I had to sit at an empty car park for 3 hours.
Ah, someone's punking you there, Steve. It's like,
I don't mind.
What should we do to the new boy now? Like, you know?
I got paid for it. I didn't give a shit. Yeah. But have you got a pointless job?
Yeah, after I left the army and I was in went into French Foreign Legion for a year, I got some good qualifications in guns, and I was also a paramedic as well. So I went over to what?
I forgot about this one.
Was this when you were in Guadalajara?
We all forgot we spoke French.
Is this when you went to Guadalajara?
I went Israel.
All right.
And I was like bodyguard for foreign bureaucrats, but we had like an army around us.
Yeah.
But like, so I was just kind of with a gun with him. Yeah. Just protecting them, but we are like an army around us, so that was quite pointless. We didn't.
No, but he probably asked for the army when he saw the two in his bodyguard.
He showed him. He went, "Fuck this, lads!
Yeah,
bring the army!
The John's ambulance. I was in the John's ambulance, and they're showing you out to the matches.
Well, now, hang on a second. Were you in the John's ambulance or the John of Gods?
John's ambulance on the way to the John of Gods. But no, the John's ambulance. Up there at the matches, but like, you'd have ambulance men.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
The order of Malta.
It depends
which
John's ambulance. Like, in England, they're They're quite good in Derby.
We were like, say, 12 and 13 going to the matches. Like, what's a 12 and 13 year old going to do, help you go to a match?
Are you sure some guy did, just didn't want to get anywhere in a uniform?
Yeah. Oh, no, we're John's.
You're in the John's ambulance now, boy.
He didn't have long blonde hair and smoke a cigar, saying, now then.
As always, thank you to our hosts here, Astro Park Tala, for their great hospitality and also allowing us to now do up the bunker. So that's going to be happening soon enough. We would like to say thanks to Phil, to Andy, to Dave for being part of the show tonight. Neil on sound doing his best Eminem impression. And me, your host, Steve-O. Thanks, good night. And as Phil likes to say, God bless.